The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
You know, sometimes Eric pretends to be interested in his guests,
but he's really just doing a crossword puzzle and rolling his eyes at what they say.
He told me never to say that, ever. But look, I made a mistake. Uh-oh.
I'm human.
In my way.
Only I'm not.
And now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to Hour 2. You know how it's Hour 2? Well, if you're watching on YouTube, the way you know that this is Hour 2 is that when you look at Albin, you see, what? He doesn't have a beard. Albin, what happened?
Hi, everybody. I'm beardless.
You're a beardless youth. Now, the reason you don't have a beard, we've got to tell people. By the way, in Hour 2 today, we're continuing our conversation with Carter Page from Hour 1. But far more important than any substantive conversation is the lunacy of how we're raising money for religious liberty and the Alliance Defending Freedom. Albin, yes. Tell our folks at home what they get.
Well, right now, if you send in $500, you're going to get my Hamster Homes box of mysteries and a piece of my beard. But it has to be today, right? Until Wednesday at midnight. Is that what you said, Eric?
Well, I said, if to be fair, we'll do by Wednesday at midnight, since people listen to this program at different hours. But okay, so the shaving of the beard was paid for by Deborah C. of Pelham, Alabama. Deborah, God bless you. You're a sick person, and God loves you. Thank you for giving to religious liberty. And now Deborah has paid for the murder and butchering of the beard on live TV and on this radio program, but she hasn't paid for the meat, so to speak. In other words, if you want a piece of that beard, you can own a piece of that beard, ladies and gentlemen.
Can I say it's been in the family for 200 years. So
this beard has been in the family for 200 years. And now, by God's grace, it can become a part of your family tradition, folks. Yes. You can put it in a vial.
Suitable for framing.
Are we concerned that somebody out there who might have the technology, I'm thinking someone maybe listening in North Korea, would they be able to clone Albin at this point?
Let them clone him.
Go ahead.
We need clone them all. We need help here on this program. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
We're all making peanuts. We need an Albin clone. That'd be super.
Yeah. And by the way, the beard is suitable for framing, just like Carter Page, who's going to have the second part of his interview coming up.
That's right. Time. We're talking to Carter Page in a second, but listen.
Albin has a mustache remaining, and he's giving me a vibe of somebody who might be obsessed with squeezing Charmin or something like that.
but the mustache can go too for $1,000, and you also get Hamster Homes.
Okay, we need to break this down for people who are listening because they think we're kidding. Ladies and gentlemen, a lovely woman, Deborah C. of Pelham, Alabama, paid cash money to the Alliance Defending Freedom to see that beard come off. Deborah, you're a sick person, but we love you. And I just want to say, if somebody wants to see that mustache come off,
oh boy,
folks, if you've got $1,000 burning a hole in your pocket to see the upper lip of my producer, Albin, let me tell you.
I forgot the drop cloth.
We will announce your name on the camera. We'll announce your name on this radio station. If you give $1,000 before midnight tomorrow, that's tomorrow's Wednesday. If you give $1,000, anybody gives $1,000, by the way, we'll announce your name. It could be more than one person. So anybody gives $1,000 to the Alliance Defending Freedom, we will mention your name on the air, and Albin will shave that sucker.
Yeah.
And now look, we've been clear. If anyone gives $500, now, by the way, you get all the other stuff too. You understand there's all this other stuff you get. But in addition, if you do it in the next 24 hours, you see that sweet looking beard?
Hanging
from his lower jaw.
Look at that.
That beard can be in your precious hands, and you can share it with your family. You can burn it and scatter the ashes in the High Sierra Mountains. Whatever suits you, it'll become your beard. And we want you to
I would also add, if someone's missing some eyebrows, I mean, that would be a great solution right there.
You know what? If you glue that beard to your eyebrows, you'll be part Albin.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can glue it on my eyebrows.
All right. So actually, before we get back to all this kooky stuff, I do want to remind people, folks, Alliance Defending Freedom, this is serious business. Religious liberty is under attack. I told you in hour one, there's a school. This is brand new. This is the latest. Okay. A school in Oregon, a private Christian school, is being fined by the governor, Kate Brown, the governor, okay, the wacky governor who doesn't understand religious liberty or how the Constitution works. Oh, but she's governor. She said she's threatened this school with 30 days of jail time and $1,250 in fines if they reopen in-person instruction. What's the problem with that? The problem is that public schools of identical size are perfectly able to do this, to resume in-person classes. Why can't the private Christian school do it? Well, I'll tell you why. The governor's spokesperson said that the governor wants to prevent a mass exodus from public schools. In other words, she is sitting on what we call the free market. She doesn't want people to go to the wonderful Christian school, so she's shutting them down. This is completely unconstitutional because she wants the kids to go to the public school. And I just want to tell you, it sounds like a joke. I just got this morning. This is happening. The Alliance Defending Freedom is stepping up for this school. This is going to happen to you, to your friends, to your schools. If we do not fight back for our liberties, folks, we deserve to lose them. We need to know what they are. I keep saying it in my book, If You Can Keep It. Like, if we don't teach this stuff and understand this stuff, it goes away. And this is a classic example. If we don't fight, and by the way, who's going to fight? Alliance Defending Freedom. That's what they do. They do it for free, which is why we need to give them something. Anyone who can, go to MetaxasTalk.com. I don't know how else to say it. I'm begging you, folks. We're shaving our beards. We're shaving our mustaches, whatever you need to do. And I got to tell you, it is very, very important. So go to MetaxasTalk.com. The ADF is there. And by the way, before we go to Carter Page, we've got a new book that we're talking about. We're going to have the author on very shortly, not today, but either this week or next week. He wrote a book called 8 Questions About Race. It's by Bishop Aubrey Shines, founder of Conservative Clergy of Color. 8 Questions About Race arms conservatives with rebuttals to Black Lives Matter pseudo arguments. For example, are all white people racist? No. Is the justice system unfair to Black people? Well, Bishop Aubrey Shines, founder of Conservative Clergy of Color, talks about it. It's a must read for everybody who cares about the country, churches, children, race, all these importance. To get your copy, go to 8questionsaboutrace.com. It's spelled out E-I-G-H-T, 8questionsaboutrace.com, 8questionsaboutrace.com. And while you're there, get copies for friends and neighbors. It's not expensive, but it's so important, and we'll have him on later. Now, Albin, before we go back to our buddy Carter Page, I want to say once again, what we are proposing here, you have shaved off your beard.
Yeah, took one
like
for the
a
team.
Lamb before its shearers. You shaved it off. You didn't complain.
Yeah.
So that we could raise $1,000 for religious liberty. Now, I just want to say there's a mustache hanging on your upper lip, and that is also for sale to the highest bidder. No, for $1,000.
Yes.
Although, you know what? If somebody gives more than that
to
see that, we'll only mention their name.
Okay.
But if somebody or several people give $1,000, we will mention all your names. And actually, we'll mention all your names no matter what. But for $1,000, that stash can come off on the air.
Yes.
I mean, this is like watching Evel Knievel jump the Snake River Canyon in that rocket cycle. It's like, I can't believe I'm alive when this is happening. And in this case, there is no parachute. He's going down.
It reminds me of Fonzie jumping the sharks as well, possibly.
Yeah, actually, that's more appropriate. That's much more appropriate.
Now, Alvin, what is your mom going to say about, or your mom, your wife going to say?
She is going to get religion on us. She's going to say, hallelujah. She does not.
Wife wants this. Maybe she should give $1,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so the number, folks, if you want to call, you can call right now while you're feeling all emotional about the facial hair issue. 855-547-5333. 855-547-5333. Let me say it again in English. 855-547-5333. We do need your help.
Yeah.
Now, we do need your help. I also want to say
Todd will jump the shark.
Yes. The demon barber of Fleet Street will dress up as Fonzie. And by the way, if you go to mypillow.com, don't forget to use the code Eric. We keep forgetting to tell you. If you go to mystore.com, there's all kinds of stuff there. The Donald the Caveman books are, I've never seen them this low. They're 11 bucks a pop. Mike Lindell has packaged them up with his little hands by himself. And so go to mystore.com and we'll be back with Carter Page to talk about a really important thing. I want that mustache in my hand. Folks, I persuaded Carter Page to stay on into hour two. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Carter Page, who has a new book out called Abuse and Power, How an Innocent American Was Framed in an Attempted Coup Against the President. Carter, you were just saying about how Vindman, a naval figure, spoke against the Army.
So U.S. yes, military still, you know,
but how he spoke against the president at the impeachment proceedings. And you were saying that this is yet another example of how things have broken down. In other words, we have people in positions that they're beneath the commander in chief, but they somehow feel that they have the right to speak against him. It's a bizarre thing. You could say the same about General Mattis and others. I kind of think, my goodness, who elected you? We don't really care what you think on this. You're supposed to serve under the president. We're in a new day, aren't we?
We absolutely are, Eric. And unfortunately, the core essence of all these people who have acted against President Trump, you know, these career government bureaucrats who have taken extraordinary steps to undermine our democratic processes. Unfortunately, and this is a core essence of the entire problem, and I know you've talked about it a lot on your show in different contexts over the years, but unfortunately, he has a different way of advancing the American interests and making America great and the steps that are necessary to advance that. And he has done so much in this regard. So unfortunately, when these career bureaucrats who have lived in Washington or worked around Washington throughout much of their career are when their core fundamental, you know, modus operandi is challenged and by someone who's trying to shake things up and do things in a new way, which is urgently needed for our country, they pull out all the stops to prevent those steps from happening. And unfortunately, that's the essence of what has happened.
You talked about growing up in Poughkeepsie, which is close to where I grew up in Danbury, Connecticut. You were a Catholic altar boy. What do you reckon is responsible for your coming out where you are ideologically? I mean, were you raised in a serious family of faith? Did you have a conversion to conservative ideas at some point? How did you get to be where you were, for example, in 2016, wanting to help Trump get elected? What is your ideological journey, so to speak?
Yeah, well, my faith has always been central to who I am and what I do. And luckily that has largely helped me stay out of trouble amidst all of these witch hunts and 40 hours of interrogation, not only by the FBI and the Mueller witch hunt Democrats, but also, you know, both houses of Congress, the House of Representatives and also the U.S. Senate, in terms of the extensive, intense interrogation that I've been through. And unfortunately, they essentially came up with nothing. And the essence of what I've believed and, you know, my growth process, and I explained this early in my book, but I ended up, there was a scene where, you know, I was a skateboarder in high school, and I remember coming in and watching the news of then President Reagan and then the leader of the Soviet Union Mikhail Gorbachev in the 1980s during their arms control negotiations, trying to reshape the world. And I watched President Reagan and the incredible accomplishments, one of the greatest presidents in U.S. history. A couple of his greatest accomplishments are not only what he did in the economy, but also redefining U.S. foreign policy by glasnost and perestroika in conjunction with the Soviet / Russian leader, Mikhail Gorbachev. And a lot of that was based on tough negotiations and a relationship. And when I saw and when I listened to then candidate Trump in 2015 and 2016, talking about these essential steps that our country needs to take to adjust to the new world and to find new solutions after countless foreign policy failures throughout the 8 years of the Obama-Biden administration and going back many years before that, I realized that exactly what he was talking about is precisely the right formula for our country. And again, U.S.-Russia relations, similar to the core achievements of President Reagan, that is an essential step forward in terms of things that the U.S. Government can do to advance America's interests in the world. And both for better and for worse, particularly for worse in terms of his first term in office, President Trump was largely prevented from advancing these essential national security and U.S. foreign policy goals of finding new solutions just in the midst of this terrible storm cloud that has remained over his head throughout the entire, not only his first campaign, but essentially throughout his administration. But I remain cautiously optimistic that American voters will see through this despite all the false information in the mainstream media.
And it's staggering. I mean, it's a staggering thing to be living through this. You're not quite as old as I am, but the point is that we remember living in a country where, nothing was ever perfect, but the idea that we would reach a level of this kind of disinformation and ideological manipulation, it's frightening. I hope it's an inflection point. In other words, I hope that we get to look back on this, but it's going to take a lot more. It's certainly going to take the reelection of the president. I just have to ask you specifically, when these folks decided to come after you, what were they hoping to find? In other words, did they actually think that there was something? In other words, if they're going on a fishing expedition, maybe they'll find something. Was there a hope that you were some kind of a back channel to somebody in Russia? They could link you to Trump and to Russia so that they could prove some kind of a dirty connection?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct, Eric. Unfortunately, it goes so much further beyond that. And it goes back to the topic we were talking about earlier, where all these people have based everything around longstanding personal insider relationships, often involving large sums of money. And let me just give you one example on this front. There was this disinformation campaign paid for by the DNC and the Democrat Party in conjunction with their lawyers and their other operatives, which put together this disinformation document known as the dossier. And there was one guy named Christopher Steele, and he was a foreign spy from the United Kingdom. And he put together, paid big money by the Democrats through a network of bad actors who were trying to destroy the presidency of or the candidacy of Donald J. Trump in his first ever election in his life 4 years ago. And unfortunately, he made great advances in this regard. And again, it's all about relationships. He not only was he getting paid by the Democrat Party throughout 2016, he also got 11 payments from the FBI, James Comey's FBI, during that same time. You know, you talk about conflicts of interest and potential corruption. It's truly extraordinary. And unfortunately, you know, it's this mirror effect that you often hear about and, you know, which we see all the time, where the things that they're, the Democrats are accusing me and so many other Republicans of are precisely what they themselves are doing in terms of, you know, the false accusations in this fake DNC-funded dossier was that I was colluding with the Russians. As we've now learned through these ongoing investigations, which I still believe are just at the, you know, very tip of the iceberg, and I explain a lot of this, the true details in my book. You know, we really don't know many of the other steps related to this. But unfortunately, we now know that Steele was paying a guy who was known or believed by the FBI to be a Russian agent, right? So I'm getting falsely accused, you know, someone who has served his country throughout his entire life, me, and I'm getting falsely accused by a network of intelligence operatives and political operatives who are themselves involved in Russian disinformation.
It is diabolical. We'll be right back, folks. I'm talking to Carter Page. Don't go away.
Ain't it wonderful to be where I'm always...
Hi, folks. These uncertain times can cause uncertain gut slowdown. Worry and fear can wreak havoc on our digestion, making it hard to feel optimum. Bloating, less energy, and occasional constipation can slow you down in your daily activity. Try Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea can help get things moving so you can get that boost of energy you need. Life Change Tea helps protect and defend your health from intruders. It's a weird time right now with all the uncertainty, so gear up and defend your health. Where do you go to purchase? Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. The specials are on the front page, and we have numerous supplements to help combat intruders. It's time to take charge of our health and to feel better in life. It's time to live. Again, GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. GetTheTea.com. It is so worth it. GetTheTea.com.
Folks, I got some embarrassing news to share with you, but you know what? This is just the kind of a show where I don't care. I'm willing to lay my heart, you know, on the line. Here's the issue. Mike Lindell with My Pillow. You may notice that I have a bobblehead of him near me. He's here to remind all of us that when you go to MyPillow.com, you get whopping discounts if you use the code Eric, okay? Now, there are a lot of people who haven't done that, and we have your names here. And Chris Himes and Albin pointed out to me that there's like three pages of you whose first name is Eric. You yourself, I mean, that's humiliating for me that even though your name is Eric, you're still not willing to use the code Eric. I mean, if you don't want to use it because it's my name, use it because it's your name. But the point is that I see who you are, and I just feel humiliated by this. Please go to mypillow.com. It's okay, Mike. It's going to be okay. Go to mypillow.com. Use the code Eric. You're going to get whopping savings and really high quality products. Did I mention that? Thank you. Hey there, folks. I'm talking to Carter Page. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. His book is Abuse and Power. He details the story of the subtitle is How an Innocent American Was Framed in an Attempted Coup Against the President. Carter, you know, we're talking about an attempted coup against the President of the United States, and the mainstream media still somehow refuses to acknowledge this. We had the Horowitz report come out detailing much of this horrifying FISA court abuses. I mean, anybody who understands what's at stake and what's been happening, you realize this is big stuff. But the mainstream media still does not acknowledge this. It's we're living in a new world, I guess, is my point. That you know, It's one thing to be somewhat biased, but it's mind-bending to me that at this point, with this much information and these many stories like yours coming out, that they somehow don't see it.
Well, part of the problem, Eric, is these people, you know, very big operatives, you know, top operatives within the mainstream media, they were basing their credibility on this false story, which was not just, you know, a couple of news cycle story. This dragged out, this fake Russia hoax dragged on for literally years. And I'll just give one example. And I talk about her and, you know, the disinformation in my book, but MSNBC's Rachel Maddow, right? You know, a lot of the things related to this false story that the Democrats were paying for, you know, her show and many others like it were the core medium by which this is pumped out there. And, you know, you think about how many millions of people watch her every night. So the problem becomes, in answer to your question, what do you do when you've staked so much of your credibility on this false story and it's now just completely destroyed in terms of, you know, now that we're starting to learn just a small sliver of the truth. Again, there's so much more to come, but all of these false stories have been largely, if not entirely, debunked. So where do you go from here? That's the challenge they have. And I think that answers your question as to, you know, why they've been, to put it mildly, somewhat slow in terms of
reality. They've been humiliated, I suppose. I don't know quite how to read it. It seems impossible to me that they could refuse to acknowledge the basics of this narrative, that this was perpetrated, that this was a hoax, that this was not a reality. It seems very difficult for me to get my head around that. But I know that there are people that they're so emotionally invested in hating Trump and in just, you know, in their core, they know he's evil and the details don't matter. It really, none of it matters. And this has continued. But the fact that laws have to be broken and dirty things have to be done like they did to you and General Flynn and so many others, even Maria Butina, not many people know her story, but I do. And there are people to this day convinced she was a Russian agent. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And they'll say, it says it in the indictment or whatever it is. And I think you don't even know what that term means. She was not a spy. She was caught up in what you were caught up in. But it does scare me as an average American, what can happen to someone seemingly randomly, that the fact that you've been put through this hell. And where do things stand now with you legally? I mean, are you still fighting court battles?
Yeah, we're just, we are at the very beginning of that. And unfortunately, I mean, this speaks to some of the challenges that President Trump has faced, because there are so many corrupt powers with extraordinary resources that we're up against. So I have a great team of attorneys who have been helping me. But it's a long, drawn-out process, and I've been going through this. You know, it started out during the witch hunt, the dark witch hunt years, which did so much damage to our country throughout much of the Trump first term in office. And now, you know, now that it's been entirely debunked and all of these terrible perpetrators and indeed criminals have been somewhat uncovered. Again, there's a lot more to come, but you know, now I'm taking significant legal actions, and some things I can't speak too much about, but, you know, we've taken some initial steps, and there's certainly going to be a lot more to come, but it takes patience. And just like President Trump, I mean, he's been a great inspiration for so many Americans. And again, I've never met him at any time in my life, but just watching everything that he has dealt with in a corrupted legal system where many of these same insiders, you know, we're primarily talking about government bureaucrats within the executive branch and within the legislative branch known as the U.S. Congress. But there's also the federal judiciary in terms of, you know, many sort of insiders who have deep relationships and many, many, you know, completely conflicted relationships with so many of these insiders. And of course, they're going to look out for themselves. Now, fortunately, in the first term of President Trump's term, he has actually, you know, done a lot to reform the federal judiciary, but there's so much more to do.
Well, we're going to go to another break here, but it's all Dickensian. It reminds me of the courts of chancery, something just so vast that it just crushes people beneath it, and there's nothing anyone can do. But God is on this, my friends. Be encouraged. We're going to continue talking to Carter Page. The new book is Abuse and Power. That old wheel. Folks, final segment with Carter Page. An amazing story, Carter. Your book is called Abuse and Power. And again, you're just an example of what can happen, but it needs to be a warning to every American of where we have come in this country and what we need to do to get back to when we really had a measure of freedom. And I know every generation has to fight these battles, but it seems that the accrual of power, the deep state, which simply didn't exist 100 years ago or 50 years ago, it's just gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. And I guess my hope is that this president can get reelected and can indeed drain the swamp do things that he simply couldn't have done in the first term.
Yeah, I think that's entirely right, Eric. And, you know, before the break, you mentioned the Court of Chancery. The entire Court of Chancery, you know, the original Court of Chancery in England, you know, many centuries ago, it was based on conscience. And, you know, they took steps to root out unconscionable acts. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of these operatives within Washington have just had this unconscionable modus operandi going back not only many years, but really decades. You know, you talked about, you know, former Senator Biden in the 1970s. In this whole FISA, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act process happened four decades ago while he was in Congress. And essentially, you know, that was put in place to stop some of these terrible civil rights abuses against innocent Americans like Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And unfortunately, the exact same steps, what we've seen in the crimes that were committed against President Trump, myself, right, and so many other Trump supporters, really cut to the core and are totally antithetical to everything that these laws and the original intention of Congress was focused on in terms of trying to prevent these things from ever happening again.
I mean, there's tremendous irony, isn't there? The idea that Martin Luther King Jr. was spied upon sickeningly. I mean, it's just a sickening thing to think that people had that kind of power and they used it and abused it. Then we put in laws so that it doesn't happen again. And then those very laws make it possible for it to happen again. I think that it simply proves that there's no substitute for virtue and faith in this country. If you want to find a way to be evil and to do wrong, you can find a way. And we need to encourage people that you cannot have true freedom without virtue, something I talk about quite a bit. And I'll mail you a book when we go off the air. I'll get your address and I'll mail you a copy of my book on that subject. But I talk about what America is. And I think of folks like you, I think of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, when you realize the evil that you're up against, the evil that is in the hearts of men, and how once that becomes part of a government system, it is very, very ugly. And you've lived through it. Now, you said something about, you know, you think that more is going to come out. We've just got a few minutes left. Can you say anything about that? Because I think that's the hope of most Americans, that more of this will come out, what's been going on.
again, you're raising several good points, and I think I can tie them all together, Eric. So your point about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., yes, there were civil rights abuses, but his life, based on many of these crimes that were happening between many bad actors and the FBI in that instance, is very similar to what I had to deal with as well. And I'll just give you one example in terms of, and this goes back to your other point of, other things that are going to be coming. So we have this ongoing Durham investigation, which is trying to root out and get to the bottom of these corrupt acts which were committed starting in our last presidential election. And one person, there were many bad actors, and I, again, explain a lot of this in my book, but as explained, around the page 110 or so, I talk about a FBI lawyer named Kevin Kleinsmith. And, I actually had a lot of, he was the first and only person thus far as of mid-October 2020 to be charged and to have pled guilty in the ongoing Durham investigation. So unfortunately, I explained to him, and similar to what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had, all the death threats I was getting based on this false story, which was constantly being pumped out in the mainstream media. Not only did he and his colleagues at the FBI, apparently from all I could tell, do nothing, it actually continued to get worse after I reported this, these death threats and literally terror threats that I was suffering. And unfortunately, we still haven't gotten to the bottom of that. And, one sort of final quick point, they ended up having a lot of, in his indictment, they talk about other people involved. And I think, there were certainly many other people involved, and we'll see whether they're held accountable.
But you think that more will come out? In other words, when you were saying that this keeps going on. But I mean, if Biden is elected, I think it's over, that more will not come out. He will do anything he can to squelch this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dennis Prager and others have talked about, the one thing with the Hunter Biden, if you look at his whole story, he's someone, if you looked at the things he did internationally, it pales in comparison to the thing. The false accusations against me in terms of, conflicts of interest in international locales. I mean, this actually was far worse in terms of, I literally had no conflicts of interest or no cash flows which would have ever compromised myself. Whereas, literally millions of dollars from Russians and other foreign actors, while his father was, one of the top positions in the Obama-Biden
administration. Again, this is the classic irony, right? That they're projecting upon folks like you what they themselves are guilty of. It's something out of a bad novel in a way, because it's so ridiculous. You wouldn't make it up. You couldn't make it up. And we're living through it. Carter Page, a joy to get to know you a little bit. Thank you for your time. And the book, folks, is Abuse and Power, Abuse and Power by Carter Page. Carter, God bless you.
Thank you so much. You too, Eric. Thank you. Great to be with you.
Hey, folks, how about that Carter Page? Is he amazing? Now, by the way, we're going to continue our conversation with Carter Page in hour two. Yes, if you want to hear the rest of the conversation, because we barely got started, in hour two today, we're going to do that. And if your radio station doesn't cover it, you need to put a bag of dog poop on there and light it on a fire. No, you can't do that anyway. But you got to call them up and tell them to carry hour two. But if they don't, go to our MetaxasTalk.com. You can listen there. You can give to ADF there. And you can also listen on our YouTube channel. But Albin, Yeah. Now is the time. Someone donated $1,000 and you've got to shave the beard in their honor. What's the name of the person that donated the $1,000?
Okay. Well, the name of the person, I'm sorry. I'm mourning my beard. I'm mourning it already.
I know.
Her name is Deborah. I'm going to use just her last initial. Deborah C. from Pelham, Alabama. She gave $1,000. So she gets the signed copy of Hamster Home.
Deborah C. from Pelham, Alabama. This beard belongs to you, Deborah.
Yep. This beard's for you, Deborah.
Okay. Now, but you're going to start shaving it now. Now, let me just say one thing real quick before you start shaving.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Americans that want a part of that beard. Now, Deborah gave $1,000 to Lions Defending Freedom. And Chris and I were just saying, you know what? She didn't buy the beard, okay? She got you to shave it off, okay? So it's kind of like she got you to butcher it on camera.
Yeah.
But there are people that are going to say, I want a piece of that meat. I want a piece of that beard. Oh, she paid to have it killed and butchered, but we want a piece of it. So anybody who gives $500 today between now and Wednesday at midnight, $500, we are going to mail you a piece of Albin's beard. Albin, we wouldn't lie to these people. It will be a piece of your beard along with one of your books signed.
That's right.
Better get shaven.
I got to get shaving. Okay, here we go. Okay, my wife's going to appreciate this too. She doesn't like it.
Look at this. This is live on camera.
Albin is shaving his beard.
He's shaving.
All right. Actually, you got to let me talk or the Zoom won't get people to see this. Here it goes. It's getting all over the place here. I might have to take this into hour two. I didn't realize it's so thick. My goodness gracious.
That's like brindle hair, like a hog.
Yeah, I could paint the condo walls with this thing. Oh,
you got to pluck that out with pliers.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Here we go.
Is it coming? Oh, man. Look at that naked chin. Gotcha.
Oh, boy. Look at this. My goodness. This is great.
Is incredible. Ooh. All for religious liberty.
It is. ADS. Top of
some terrific radio as well.
I was going to say the people listening on radio are... Or must be thrilled.
How many more
minutes do I have? Be seeing Albin. Albin, man, keep it going. Keep it going. Sure. Don't quit now. You're almost there.
By the way, the lawyer said I said only the beard. So now I've got the mustache. And if somebody gives $1,000, I'll take the mustache off and your honor.
Oh, you're a financial genius. You're a wizard.
I'm something else.
Look at this. So the beard was $1,000, but you didn't say nothing about that mustache.
No.
That's what we call in show business a loophole. That's a big fat loophole.
That's a loophole.
Or a cleft in my chin. It's a loophole.
Okay, now listen. You should take a piece of clay and get an impression of that cleft and send it to anyone who sends $1,000.
Come on. This is going overboard.
We're
going
to make a lot of money off of your face, man.
Post office won't.
How much for an eyelash? How much to shave the eyebrows?
How about
I think $5,000 per eyebrow, right?
I need a nose reduction, maybe
this
something.
Is unbelievable. That's disgusting. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, Deborah C. of Pelham, Alabama has paid to have this done. Deborah, I hope you're proud of yourself because you've done a beautiful thing for religious freedom and an ugly thing for Albin's chin. And now I want to say, if anybody wants a piece of the hair that's just been shaved, $500 in the next 48 hours, we're going to have to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this, and then we'll continue our conversation with Carter Page. This is sheer lunacy. Go to metaxastalk.com. Give to ADF. Folks, what more can we do?